Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Everyone, and welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today we have another special guest. So let's start by finding out who our special guest is. So hi, welcome. Can you tell us something about who you are and what your connection with languages is?
Hello, Kirsty. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a great pleasure to be here with you. My name is Monia. I live in Portugal. I'm a freelance translator from German and English into European Portuguese. I'm now specializing in the literary translation field, but I have a solid background of technical translation. I translate since 2007. I love languages and I'm constantly seeking to improve my linguistic skills. That's why I lived in Berlin, in Germany. I lived there for 4 years. Because I needed to improve my German, and also because I just fell in love with the city. It's an amazing city. And I consider myself a very shy person, an introvert, and I struggle with speaking in public, but I decided to live by my recent motto that doing difficult things makes you grow. That's why I'm here. I decided to accept your invitation for this podcast, and I hope it's going to be fun.
This is your second podcast appearance, isn't it? So this gets easier the more you do.
Yeah, well, let's see.
But I think it's interesting because when we first met, or we first started talking because of languages, wasn't it? You posted a recommendation about a podcast in Portuguese on LinkedIn. And I thought, oh, it's interesting. I'm looking for new resources and things that will help me. So I decided to message you, and now you're here on the podcast.
Yeah.
So you never know where things will go.
You never know. That's right. Yeah.
So what you're doing at the moment, what kind of materials do you translate? What kind of materials do you most enjoy translating?
Well, I'm translating, and now I'm translating a book. Like a novel, well, I cannot go into specifics, but it's like a light novel. The thing that I don't really know what I enjoy translating the most, because I'm still trying to figure it out, but it has to be something that I also enjoy reading. So if I enjoy reading that, then I will love to translate it. But I'm still trying to manage all my technical clients with the literary translation, so I still dwell on this, both these sides, you know, the technical stuff in the morning and literary in the afternoon.
Your variety to your day, it means that you're not doing the same kind of thing all the time.
It's nice.
And so how did you decide that going to Germany would be a good idea? Like, was it part of your degree, or was it something you did afterwards? How did this idea come about that you go and live in Germany for a while?
Yeah, well, after my degree, I decided to take a post-graduation in translation, and it gave me the opportunity to take one semester abroad. I did this Erasmus semester in Berlin. And I loved the city so much that I decided to go back and to live there. I just ended up living there for 4 years. I felt that my German was not good enough to be a translator. I always knew that I wanted to be a translator. And I knew that I really needed it. It was not enough. The 3 years in high school and 4 years in college, you know, German is a very difficult language. And to be able to translate books, you really need to have a deep knowledge of the language. So that's why it was not only because of that. I was also seeking the adventure of going abroad, but it was mostly because I really felt that I needed to to improve the language. And it was great. It was the best thing that I could do in that sense.
Yeah, and I think probably that I've never lived anywhere apart from the UK. Maybe that will change, but at the moment I've only ever lived here, and I think you can feel quite happy with language skills on in a, I don't know, on an intellectual level if you're talking about the subjects that you would normally talk about when you're studying. But then you get there, and I think when I got there, one thing I had a problem. I couldn't get this oven working, and I realized I had a bunch of gaps in terms of my vocabulary about, you know, broken kitchen appliances, and that was a problem. But I guess when you got there, you discovered a whole lot of other, you know, vocabulary that you had never needed when you were studying, but that was essential for living in another country. Can you think of any examples of things that you realized, oh, I need to go and learn a bit more about this topic because I'll need to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I remember like the first time I needed to go to a shop to buy something. It's a bit embarrassing, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. So, you know, in college, we read and learn all these classical German novels like Thomas Mann and Bertolt Brecht and Kafka and everything. And we have to read them in German and then to make presentations about them and so on. So we have all this academic vocabulary, but then when you go to the country and you just need to go and buy some fruit, you cannot remember the basic stuff, you know? So because you are not prepared for it, that's the thing, I think.
You haven't done it, it's new.
Yeah, and then so the first time I remembered that I needed, the first time I went to Germany, I went, it was in Frankfurt, I did this like a summer school program, and I needed to buy a notebook to write in during the lessons. And so I went to like a small stationery shop, and I wanted to buy a notebook, and I just forgot the name for notebook, heft. You know, I couldn't remember that. And I was like, oh my God, like I have a degree in German, but I cannot remember how to say notebook in German. And I just, and the lady was very impatient. Yeah, what do you want?
You should know what you want before you come in.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I need something, you know, something to write. And she was like, a pen? No, like, you know, that is made from paper. And, you know, it was so embarrassing. So I, but it was the first time, and I realized, okay, I really need to go back to the basics, you know, to learn this day-to-day, like this daily stuff, day-to-day business, and that's what then living in Berlin really helped me with this stuff, like, you know, calling like the plumber to help me with some problems at home, or to fix the washing machine, and, you know, like, when I got to the point that I could talk to a Berliner guy who was there to fix my washing machine, and I understood everything he told me, I thought, okay, now this is it. Now you have reached the level where you can be confident with your German.
Yeah, because I mean, it's a very multicultural city, but there's also like people with a strong Berlin accent. That's something else you probably didn't learn at college.
No. And I could not. My landlady had this very strong Berlin accent, and I couldn't understand her. In the beginning, it was so hard. But then in the end, it was okay. It was fun.
And I think it's when you're learning, when you're not really trying to learn, like, you know, if you're studying something, you're trying to learn. But if you're just living somewhere or communicating with people, making new friends, spending time with them, you are still learning, but you don't realize that because your focus is on something else.
Yeah, that's true.
So how easy was it for you to meet new people and to make connections there in this big city? How did you do that?
Well, it was quite easy, but I didn't make any, not how can I say this? My friends were mostly foreigners, were mostly people who, like me, were there just for the time being, just for a few years. I didn't, you know, it's difficult to make friends with I don't know if I can say native people with German people, because they have their lives, and you know, and they I think they see you like temporary, like you are not going to stay there, so it's not, they don't want to make strong connections with you because they are going to go away. That's that's what I felt back then. We are talking about like 20 years ago.
I think that happens in big cities, though. I think it happens in London maybe. Too. Like people are just passing through, and it's easier to connect with other people who are doing the same.
Yeah. So most of my friends were like Spanish people from Spain, France, Italy, England, Portuguese, a few German people, but very, very few. Yeah. But it was easy. It was actually because I worked in a language school. So, as you can imagine, there were people from everywhere, teachers from Colombia, South America in general, Spain, England. And so it was easy to just go out with them and make friends.
And did you use German as a common language, or was it easier to use something like Spanish or English? Or
yeah, yeah, well, my Spanish also improved during that time. Yeah, so it's... No, actually, I was speaking. There was a time when I was speaking like Spanish, English, and German, and Portuguese, and it was like a mixture. And I felt my head was going to explode because I had all these languages in my head. Actually, with them, I would speak their language because it would be easier because I could understand them better than they would speak German.
Yeah, but I think it's all these things, like if you are interested in languages and you want to work on multiple languages, the only way to do that is to keep using all of the languages that you have and that you want to use, so not to neglect any of them. But I think what you did obviously must have given you some insight into the culture as well as the language. So if you're using that knowledge to translate books, for example, it's important to know things about how life is in Germany and not just what the words mean. Do you think that helped to gain an understanding of German culture as well as German language, like being there for a while? Or
yeah, that helped definitely, although I must say that I spent these 4 years in Berlin, and Berlin is not Germany. Yeah, so so there are big differences in Bayern or in other regions of Germany that I'm not aware of. Although I read a lot in German, I'm still in contact with the culture. I still have friends there. I still go there from time to time, and I try to visit other cities, not only Berlin. But yeah, it has definitely helped me to understand people and the culture, and to be able to translate better, I think.
Mm-hmm. And so like the initial weeks and months when you first got there, was there anything that you really missed from Portugal, or was it all new and exciting and you didn't really focus on that?
Well, the weather. I really missed the weather. The first year was terrible in that sense. Well, I arrived in July, and there was that summer was incredibly and exceptionally hot. But then after, around September, it started to go down, and the first winter was horrible. I remember feeling sleepy all the time because I was so tired. Because there was no sun, and in Portugal we have sun like all the time. So that was the thing I most missed, and also the food. I remember missing the food, but mostly I was really excited to be there and to try new things.
And did you see was there much snow that winter? Was it a really cold, snowy winter, or just a cold, rainy?
Well, for me, it was really cold because I wasn't used to it. You know? So, it snows a lot, although in Berlin, the snow doesn't stay longer than like 3 days because of the heat of the city. Mm. But for me, it was everything was new because we are not used to snow. We don't have snow in Portugal, just in high mountains. So it was I had to learn how to walk in the snow and not to sleep, you know, and to fall. So it, yeah, it was a bit hard. I have to say that I don't like this. It's not my thing. I don't like winter, long and dark winters and snowy winters. No.
Like sunshine and
yeah.
This is why everyone's going to Portugal, because you've got so much better weather than that. So what advice would you give then to someone who's just kind of starting out, thinking that this kind of idea is probably good for them to improve their language skills, if they're thinking about going to another country for the purpose of improving their language skills? What kind of tips would you give someone so that they can make the most of this experience, so that they can learn the most or maybe avoid some problems? What advice would you give them?
I strongly recommend them to go abroad, to go to, for example, if they are learning German, go to Germany, go to Austria, go to Switzerland. It's really, it's I think, because nowadays in Portugal, we face like a problem, a dilemma in college, that because the number of students wanting to learn German suddenly decreased. And so they are willing to accept like everyone in the translation studies. And they, so now the criteria, people don't have to have previous knowledge of German.
Wow.
So yeah, okay. So they go and do, they apply to a translation degree without having with zero knowledge. So they have 3 years, and after that they do a master degree. Okay, 2 more years, so 5 years, 5 years, and then after that they are supposedly prepared to go and work with German and translate. And I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you are not prepared unless you grew up in a German-speaking environment. You have like lived in Germany or whatever, went to German school, okay?
But well, you did a lot in your free time, extracurricular activities too.
If not, then you really have to put some work, and you have to to run the extra mile, right? You have to go abroad. For me, is like the best thing that you could do if you have the time and the possibility. And just, you know, I don't know if people could go first as a with this Erasmus program, that would be great. If not, then just, you know, try to find like an internship in Germany. You know, the working conditions are very, very good in Germany, and most of these internships are paid. About the mistakes, I don't know. I think you have to make some mistakes. It's part of life. So just go and just take some risks, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, be open to new experiences, I guess.
And mistakes are part of the process. So
and asking for help is a really good way to learn things. Like, if you, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help, because that could be a way to make new connections for a start. And also, nobody knows everything at the beginning, so it's normal to need help, I guess, not speaking from experience, but it, as a general rule, when you go to another country, I guess there will be things that are unfamiliar, or you can't understand why things are done in a certain way because they're done in a different way where you're from. So yeah, it's a good conversation starter, at least.
Yeah.
Do you think it's good to, I mean, it depends where you get a job, obviously, but do you think it's good to go to a big city or somewhere a bit more rural, so you will find fewer people who speak your language, so you have to speak German? What do you think? Is it good to find like a big city like Berlin, where it's very international, or...
That's a good question.
Is that your plan, or is that just the way it worked out?
I remember having two options. There was Heidelberg or Berlin, and I remember I chose Berlin because I wanted a big city. But I mean, I'm not sure. I guess it depends on the person. For example, today I wouldn't choose Berlin. I would choose a much smaller city. Exactly because of what you said, because there are more the probability that you improve your that you find only people who could who speak German is higher if you go to a smaller place. But I think it's also part of the experience that you want to, you know, enjoy everything that a big city has to offer. So
Yeah, and I guess it's easier to make connections there because, as we were saying before, there are other people who are there for a shorter period of time or who are studying, and so you can meet other people who don't know anyone either. So, and so you had. You had your job before you went to Germany, or you looked when you got there, you had like the offer, but then you had to find your accommodation or
Oh no, I had nothing. I had no offer. It was during my Erasmus program. I made some friends, and one of these friends invited me. He told me, "Yeah, if you're not happy in Portugal, if you want to come back," because I told him, "Yeah, I would like to come back to Berlin." "Yeah, if you want to come back, I have a spare room. So just think about
Okay.
it." Yeah, so I had accommodation, that was for sure, but I had no job. I went just, you know, and I was hoping to find something. And then the first thing that I found was a job as a waitress in a sushi restaurant. I just wanted to have some money in the beginning, so I worked there, and it was a great experience because I had to learn all this new vocabulary about fish and
Sushi, I don't think I even know that in
sushi
English, all of the
and
different types.
you know all the names of the fishes, because people were asking me, "Yeah, what do you recommend? Is this fish like a dark fish or a—" And I said, "I don't know. I don't even know the fish." So I had to study it. And then after a few months, I started working in this language school in the beginning as a teacher for Portuguese as a foreign language, and then also in the back office. And so I quit the waitress job, and then was at this school 3 years.
So you must have liked it, and I guess that's something, you know, obviously it's when you first arrive, you take what you can find that you can do, but then something that's more in line with your
Of
interest in
course.
languages is going to be better for you. But I guess at the beginning, you know, be open to do things you haven't done before, or you know, because you need the money, and then it's easier to find a new job when you have a job, because you haven't got that same pressure to be making money immediately.
Yeah, that's right. And the job was like in the evening, so I had the whole day to do other stuff and to look for jobs. And in the beginning, I had these private classes. I offered private Portuguese classes, so I had like 1 hour here, 1 hour there, and I could make more money and decide if I really enjoyed it or not, because actually I never wanted to be a teacher. But then I realized, well, it's actually nice to teach your own language. And so that's why I also ended up doing like a course for teachers for Portuguese as a foreign language, because in Germany they love certificates. Yeah, you have to be certified to do everything. So I had to have the certification to be able to teach. And I actually really enjoyed this time.
And I think it's a lot more like you're saying, especially if you're doing it your own classes. As an English teacher, like I teach English, but there's so much more. It's about communicating with people and finding out about people and learning from them as well. And yeah, it's a very kind of social job in some ways, because
It
you've got all
is,
the talking that you can do, and it's not, if you only want to teach a language, I think, I don't know if that's enough to be a language teacher, if you just enjoy talking about how people should learn to speak your language. It's
And
probably not
I
enough.
realized that, you know, I'm I'm a bit introvert, and I don't, yeah, I have this trouble like in a bigger group to go and mingle and to make like small talk. But I realized that in the classroom, I was a whole different person. You know, I had like six people in front of me. I had to talk and to do all this, everything that you're supposed to do as a teacher, you know, improvise and ask them and make them talk. And I was like a different person. And okay, it helps me also to, you know, to grow and to be better in this, in my social skills.
Yeah, you learn every job is an opportunity to learn something new. So overall, you'd say that you're glad that you did this, that you went to Germany, that you spent some time there, that it helped you.
Yeah,
both.
I'm very glad. Yeah, it was like, I don't want to say it was the best experience of my life because it's not, you know, I have had lots of great experiences, but it was really, I recall this 4 years as really great years. They had their challenges, of course, but it was great, and they're part of me, of who I am today, I think.
And they still help you now, because you're still using these skills, because you're translating from German and English into Portuguese.
Yeah.
So you're still paying off now because you got that experience then.
Yeah, it's true, and I still have some friends there,
and
I go there from time to time. So, although since the pandemic, I've haven't been there, but I feel really well in this city. It's like I arrive in Berlin, and I think, okay, this is like my second home. It's like, yeah, I love it. It's an amazing city. You have to go there.
Yeah, I've never lived there, but I've been there too. I've got friends there. I haven't been since the pandemic either, but I have got some good memories. Even random stuff like horse riding, not in the city, but I never thought of doing that. But there is some nice countryside around there as well. Mm-hmm. If you want to go horse riding, it's also
in Brandenburg. Yeah, it's nice.
It was really good. And I wanted to have you on the podcast because this is obviously not something I've done. It's not part of my experience yet. Who knows what will happen in the future? But I wanted to speak with someone who had done this, because I think it's there are different ways to, you know, to get your language skills to a high level. But I think this is a really good way if you don't have any other responsibilities, and maybe if you're at the beginning of your career, then it's a good way to fast track your language skills. And so where can people, if they want to get in touch with you, where's the best place? LinkedIn?
Yeah, at the moment it's LinkedIn, because my website, it's I'm remodeling it. So the way it is now, it's not the way I want to present myself. But so the best place is really my LinkedIn profile.
Okay, so I'll add this to our episodes page. If you want to add the website later, you can always give me the link, and I'll add it later.
Okay.
But for now, LinkedIn is the place to be. I think LinkedIn is the place to be anywhere. I'm having a lot more fun there than I thought I would. It's my main social media platform. There are lots of good people there. So yeah, I will add that. Thank you for coming to us and talking to us about your experiences.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, it's been great. And everyone else, yeah, have a good week, and until next time.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.